This episode of Know You Go is made possible with help from our friends at Shopify. Their mission is to make commerce better for everyone, and they're growing their world-class team to make that happen. And you know what? They've read plenty of cover letters over the years, so this time they want you to read theirs. Because they don't just want you to apply to them, they want to apply to you. Visit shopify.com/careers to see what they're all about. Welcome to Know You Go, the show about being ambitious and sticking together. I'm Jen Lucas.
I'm Katel Ledoux.
And I'm Sarah Wachter-Betcher. And this episode is going to come out the day after my birthday. Ooh. Mm-hmm. And it's a very special birthday. I will be turning 35,
Ooh.
Which means I could be president.
Yes.
Nice.
Definitely can't be president.
No, you definitely should be.
Oof, I don't know. Looks like a terrible job. Not real pleased about how it's going right now. And probably I've got too many skeletons in the closet. However, the other thing they always say when you turn 35 is that according to the financial quote-unquote rules, I am supposed to have 2 times my annual salary saved right now. 2 times my annual salary. Yeah, so I don't have that. And I will say, like, I'm pretty organized. I've saved a lot for retirement, particularly starting when I was about 29. But I haven't caught up to that mark yet. And I get a little stressed out whenever I think about it. So to help us with some of that stress, we are talking today with somebody who knows a lot about money, how to save it and budget, and how to even think about maybe like retiring someday. That would be Shauna Compton-Game. She is a certified financial planner and the host of the Millennial Money podcast. Don't worry, it's not just for millennials.
I've been listening to her podcast over the last few weeks, and it's been really awesome because actually about over the last month and a half, I gotta tell you, I've been taking a journey into money.
What kind of journey?
Well, every year around tax time, I get really anxious and I start going, oh no, I should have sent all this to my CPA a while ago. And then I look at the list of things I have and I go, oh, I was supposed to do this thing last year. Oh, I was supposed to do this thing the year before. And I have this really organized list and wonder list about all the, it's called my adult list. And it's got all the things I'm supposed to do, like allocating and diversifying my assets, giving things to Cooper's Future College Fund, this whole list of things I'm supposed to do. And have I done them? No. Do I look at that list? No.
And then you realize a year has passed.
Yes.
And then like 3 years has passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where does that go? And then, you know, like other people, I start to think about it. And again, the anxiety starts to build up. And I'm like, no, thanks. But then I started thinking like, oh, I have to start learning about money. Like I have to, I can't keep pushing this off. And, you know, it's a mix of like looking at the taxes, thinking about my son, just being like, what am I doing? And so my CPA had recommended the book, Get a Financial Life. And I found it on Audible because that's my jam now. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll try giving this a shot because I've tried reading through other money finance books before. And though I can like really get down with like other books, the finance books, just like I start glossing over. And I was like, but maybe if I listen on Audible, I'll like get into it. So I did. And it's a bridge. So it was only like 2 hours, which again was perfect because it was so short. And listening to it at like 2x speed means it's like over in an hour. And it's like really basic, but like just gave a lot of good overviews. And then I was like, what other Audible books are out there? And then I started getting a little wild. So I've been like reading/listening to all these books and reading these magazines, reading these blogs, listening to these podcasts. And I know so much more than I knew 6 weeks ago.
Do you feel more confident with what you should be doing now?
I do. It's awesome. So I'm now actually in the search for a financial planner. And that's the other thing. Like I wanted to get some time with a financial planner, but I didn't want to use my time, like at someone's hourly rate, to be explaining to me like what the difference between stocks and bonds are. You know, like because that felt like a waste of money of something I could learn myself. So I felt like I should take some time, learn about like real basic stuff, and then pay a professional to help me with like the real specifics to me and not just like, here's things about money.
Yeah, I like that. And that sounds so practical. And I think like something that we all really liked hearing from Shauna is that you kind of don't, sometimes the first thing you think about isn't the fact that you have to take into account your own personal goals and sort of like how your life is shaking out and like whether you're having kids or not, or like if you have a partner or your own business or like all of these variables that are like, you're not like every other textbook case of, you know, what you should do with your money. So I don't know. It's just, I think that was like so important to, for me to hear, especially just because it's like, you don't know. If I want to retire when I'm 60, that's totally different than if you're like, okay, I actually might work a lot longer than that. And we're all living a lot longer. So I think, I don't know, just like taking into account all those things and realizing that there is a lot of research you can do on your own before you start talking to a professional.
Right. Yeah. And there's so many, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you can gather all these opinions and then you just have to factor them for you and what you want to do. I mean, there's people now that are trying to retire at 25, and then there's people that want to work, you know, until the day they die. And and obviously everything in between. So I think it's so important to like really think about what you want to do and then start setting those goals for you. And there's so many resources out there now. That's the thing. And it's really intimidating to get started, but I think like you just have to do it. And we've heard this before, right? Just like with starting businesses and starting projects, it's one step at a time, you know? So if it's even just like, I'm going to look up one term today, or, you know, I'm going to read one article or listen to one podcast, and like you've done more and learned more than you knew yesterday.
And for me, it's also been like, I mean, I need to do some things, right? So it's like, okay, I need to check some stuff off the list. So actually, I go to the same accountant as Jen, and he has also given me certain recommendations, right? So things like, you and your husband should have wills at some point and things like that. And we've done some of them, and some of them I haven't gotten around to yet. But on my list for this year, and this is like the kind of thing that goes on like a year to-do list because it's such a pain in the ass, is like, I need to move some accounts to consolidate at a financial institution where I can manage them more effectively and deal with some of my long-term like retirement planning. And just, I know that the process of moving those accounts is going to be a bit painful. Yeah. And so I'm kind of setting myself up and saying like, that is a task I need to set aside some time for. There'll be like paper forms. Somebody might make me fax something. God knows that's going to take me a week. I know you can fax online. It will still take me a week. You know, all of this is achievable, but it doesn't feel achievable sometimes in the moment. And I try to remind myself that like, look, it is very normal to feel this way. I happen to be in a lucky position where I have money I can theoretically be saving. I know that not everybody does. Like, I'm doing fine. Give myself some, you know, break the tasks down, just like anything that's big, break it down a little bit and set some time frames that are realistic and allow myself to feel good about getting some of the things done and not so upset about the things I didn't get to.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you get that like new IKEA cabinet and it comes with like 20,000 pieces and you just look at it and you're like, fuck my life. Yeah. That's like sort of looking at like your money to-do list. And you're like, oh my God, I have to roll over a 401k. Oh, I mean, how many of us have 401ks that are like sitting somewhere and you're like, I don't know what it's doing.
Yeah.
From like a previous job.
You're like, it's there. I think.
I told you I started saving for retirement when I was 29. Do you know what I did when I was 29? When I started working for myself, I literally never took advantage of an employer 401k while I had a traditional job.
Yeah.
Whoops.
But it's more complicated than just being like, oh, this thing is available.
I know. And I also really felt like I needed that money at that point in my life.
Absolutely.
Totally. And I mean, that's the like, the other thing that's really like important, and we'll talk about this a little later on, is that like, it's okay. Like, you can start saving now. And for me, that was like so important because like the anxiety of like, okay, well, you know, I didn't start investing when I was 18. So, you know, what now? And the thing is, I'm doing it now. And that's the other thing that I feel like stopped me from learning more. It's like, then I just start feeling bad. I'm like, oh, I've got this like sitting in a money market account and it's not like diversified enough. Like inflation is basically eating away my savings. And now I'm like, you know what? I can start now. And that's the thing. It's always like, you just need to start when you're going to start. And if it's not tomorrow, that's okay too. If it's next month, that's okay. But like giving yourself that slack and being like, I'm going to do it. So like I'm now moving all like I have like two 401ks I need to move over from previous jobs. And I'm like finally getting it done. Yeah. And it's a pain in the ass. I'm not going to like lie. Like but it's also not as hard as I thought it was going to be. So it's like a combo.
Some of the stuff I feel like the hardest part is that like mental blocker about it, because it's about something that makes you feel a little anxious. I mean, I have, you know, like I know that in my family, my mom really started getting her retirement stuff together in her 40s because she didn't really make much money till then, till she became a professor. And before that, you know, we were pretty poor, and but like she was extremely frugal, but like there's just not that much money. So there's not that much money. And so I look at that stuff and it makes me stressed. And then it makes me both like want to put a lot of money away, but also like not want to deal with it, like deal with it sort of like emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I really, I've gotten over a ton of that. And I feel like getting over that has been super helpful for me to make some better plans around retirement and around just sort of like having my financial shit together in general, to the point where, look, I may be turning 35 and not exactly have 2 times my salary set aside, but I actually feel really fucking good about where I am financially right now, as well as like kind of that I do have my shit together. Not everything, but like, yeah. No, I've made a lot of steps, and they're good steps, and they were like tough to get to. And now I fucking did it, and I can do future stuff too.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, that is a universal thing. It's complicated. It can feel really raw and emotional, which I think maybe sometimes I know a lot of the times I'm not expecting. And I think to just like realize that and know that there are ways to get through it is super helpful. And I really loved hearing from Shauna because it made me feel like where I am is right for where I'm supposed to be right now. And that's okay. And there are a lot of different things I can do to move forward. So I don't know. It was really good to hear from her.
Hey everyone, Sarah here to tell you a little bit about the people who are making Know You Go possible this week. First up is Harvest. Harvest makes awesome, easy-to-use software to help you track your time, manage your projects, and get paid. Seriously, I have actually been a Harvest customer since my very first day as a consultant back in 2011. I love how easy it is to create invoices, add expenses, and tie them back to my projects. Whether you're a freelancer who just needs to get paid or an agency with complex workflows and lots of people, Harvest has you covered. Try it free for 30 days at getharvest.com. And when you sign up with code KNOWYOUGO, you'll also get 50% off your first paid month. That's getharvest.com, offer code KNOWYOUGO. And we're also proud to be supported by WordPress. Do you need to make a website to post your Riverdale fan fiction or promote your awesome new wine bar? Or, well, do basically anything else? Then you need WordPress. We trust WordPress to keep our site running smoothly and to make it easy to customize, update, and share with the world. And we're not alone. Nearly 30% of all websites run on WordPress. Maybe yours should too. Plans start at just $4 a month. So start building your website today. Go to wordpress.com/knowyougo for 15% off any new plan purchase. That's 15% off your brand new website at wordpress.com/knowyougo. Shauna Compton Game is a certified financial planner, and she's the host of the Millennial Money podcast, where she dishes life-changing money and lifestyle tips to jumpstart your finances, ignite your savings, and empower you to reach all your awesome goals, which sounds pretty good to us. We are super excited to have Shauna on the show today because we know we have money questions, and we are dead certain that some of you have money questions too. So why don't we get into it? Welcome to Know You Go, Shauna.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I love talking about money, obviously.
Yeah. So speaking of that, okay, you run a podcast about money. You're a certified financial planner. What does your day-to-day look like? Like, obviously you talk about money all day. How does that break down? What's the mix of things that you typically do?
Yeah, you know, I have a really interesting background, kind of a mix of both creative skills with sort of, you know, these money and business expertise skills. And so a couple of years ago when I started my podcast, I just thought, you know, I want to create a company and a brand that creates products that really help, you know, everyday people understand how to not only grow their money, but how to deal with this money stuff in like a really relatable and, dare I say, like interesting and fun way. So that was sort of the reason that I started the podcast. So every day for me looks completely different. Some days I'm writing a bunch of articles, or I'm working on my first book right now. So there's a lot of writing there. Other days are podcasting. Other days are interviews. I also do a lot of teaching, and I host a lot of kind of like interesting dinner parties where we talk about money. So really every day I wake up, it's so completely different.
Oh, what are those dinner parties?
Yeah. So it's my version of talking about money. I'm sort of the anti like conference room person. So I get a bunch of people together, people who don't know each other, and we have a chef come cook us an amazing meal. And we sit around and we talk about money and we talk about life and we talk about business and all sorts of things. And so, you know, you walk out of there with like 20 new friends, and hopefully that you've been inspired to, you know, go do things a little bit differently.
So that sounds really cool. And this also sounds like a really interesting mix of things. Was there a moment when you realized, like, I assume, you know, you were working with clients doing typical financial planner stuff, when you realized that there was something else that you wanted to do? Like, how did that happen?
My dad had been in the financial industry for about 40 years. And I started working with him, and we worked with like really high net worth clients, people who had a lot of cash. And it was great because it was really like a crash course to learning all of these things about money. And then I got my certified financial planner designation, and I thought, okay, I'm going to have, you know, my own planning practice, which I did for quite a few years. And then I just decided, you know what, I really like the creative side of money. And I feel like we don't have a lot of modern day people talking to us about money. You know, there's Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey. Those are kind of the most popular names, but they're a little old school, I think, in their thinking. And so I would just kind of tapped into that like crazy entrepreneurial spirit. And I'm like, okay, well, why not try to create something different and something new and fresh? But it certainly hasn't been easy, but working with the clients for about 12 years really gave me an understanding of a lot of the similarities between people. And then, you know, learning some of those like really tricky techniques as well.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit that you felt like there were a lot of people who are kind of old school doing financial planning, or sort of being financial planning, I don't know, personalities out there. What do you think is sort of the difference between what you would describe as sort of this old fashioned take and the way that you approach it?
Look, I think we're just in a really different climate. I mean, there are a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, that are becoming entrepreneurs because they kind of have to. You know, the job market just isn't what it used to be. And people want to create something. And there's also a lot of debt. A lot of people still have student loan debt. A lot of people, you know, are having to plunk down a lot of money to buy a house. So I think there's just a lot of really unique dynamics happening that just call for kind of a different approach. And I honestly feel I don't know how you feel, but with social media and, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and we're always in other people's lives, like the kind of pressure right now to compete with people financially, even when you don't have that money, I feel like there's never been a time like now.
That's really interesting that you mentioned that, this sort of sense of like it seeming at least like all these people have all these fabulous things and are doing all of this amazing stuff in their life. And it does create that sense of like, you see people's highlight reel on Instagram and you think that that's how they're living day to day. And like, what you're not seeing is, you know, the like sad peanut butter sandwich they're having because there's nothing else in their fridge right now, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I even struggle with it myself, where I'll get in this mode where I'm like, okay, this is like really silly. You have your own talents, your own skills. Like, you don't need to be, you know, comparing yourself, but it's so easy to do, you know? And like you said, like, we're showcasing obviously usually like the flashy version of what we're doing in life and not the realities, which are, you know, tough.
Yeah. So it seems a little bit like the brand that you have, the podcast that you have, like the way that you talk about money and sort of just the way you position yourself feels maybe a little bit more targeted to women. And I'm curious if that was something that you were doing intentionally, or if that's just sort of like my interpretation.
It wasn't certainly intentional, but I do feel, you know, that women, look, we are in a tough spot financially, whether you know it or not. You know, women live longer than men. We start and stop our career. We just have a lot of issues that require us, I think, to think differently about money. And then, you know, I've been an entrepreneur my whole entire career. So that's really where a lot of my heart is, in helping women not only inspire them, but also help them, you know, in the practical side of money, because we just don't learn this stuff anywhere.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking a little bit before this interview about the way that financial services, I think, have historically been pretty targeted at men and sort of advertised in a way that was targeted as men. And yet, you know, we've seen society really change around, like, a lot of women are breadwinners in their families and, you know, more likely to graduate from college. Like, there's a whole lot of shift happening in the role of women in the world. And it's like, you know, looking at the financial industry as sort of needing to catch up to that. So it's cool to see people kind of like taking that seriously and looking at those issues more often facing women, you know, directly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly in the professional financial industry, of there are only about 70 some odd thousand certified financial planners, which is kind of the highest echelon of financial planning designation you can get here in the US. And of that 70,000, only about 22% are women. And that number is not increasing at all. Like, it's been stagnant at that number. And what I find working with a lot of women, particularly women entrepreneurs, is they don't necessarily want to, like, have a, you know, 60-year-old dude sitting across from them lecturing them about their money or taking time off to care for their newborn or whatever it may be. You know, they want somebody that they feel they can relate to. And so it's been a real interesting sort of sweet spot as well, you know, being a woman and having that expertise.
Oh my God, totally. As an entrepreneurial woman, I can definitely say that I do not look forward to situations where I have to sit across a desk from a 60-year-old man who's going to tell me what to do with my life.
You and me both.
Okay, so thinking just a little bit more about your podcast and the writing that you do and this book that you're working on, which I'm super excited to hear more about, does that all still feed back into doing financial planning for clients? Or is your career sort of like moved more into that lots and lots of education and hosting dinner party space, and you're not doing as much as the like of the one-on-one anymore?
Yeah, exactly. The one-on-one is fantastic. I just have always felt pulled in this direction. And, you know, it took me a few years of fighting against that pull to go, okay, I give in, you know? And so this is really where I feel my expertise lie. I, you know, I have an ability to connect with people, I think, and, you know, it works really well in this space. And, you know, I have sort of a separate brand where I work with female entrepreneurs, but kind of in a more business money centric approach, which is what I love. So yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I thought that if I was going to be a CFP, I had to have a planning career, and that was just the end of it. And it just felt honestly a little bit too boring for me.
I mean, it's interesting. You have this whole podcast about the subject of money, but a lot of people avoid talking about money. So what allowed you to overcome that stigma?
Honestly, when I launched the podcast, I thought, who in the world is going to listen to a podcast of me just kind of like babbling on about money? But what I have found is that, you know, like, money revolves around every aspect of our lives, our relationships, our careers, our vacations, you know, everything that we do. And I think that, you know, for most people, there's a lot of like stress and fear around money. And so I just approach it. And the way I sort of approach everything is, you know, if we can sort of break you free from some of those stressors around money and like get you in a position where you can think about it differently and you can really understand that you can create the lifestyle that you want to live, like, you have the tools right now in your bank account to do that, whether you know it or not, that, you know, that felt like a spot that was really comfortable for me because I've had my own kind of crazy money journey myself. And so, you know, I just wanted to be honest on the podcast. I wanted to share my own struggles. I wanted to share struggles that, you know, I've seen other people go through and how they've overcome those. And, you know, we just little by little, like sort of a grassroots movement, the podcast just has grown and grown and grown.
Was it easy for you to start talking about it right away? Were you just like, you know what, I'm going to be open and honest about this?
Not at all. It's hard when you're supposed to be the quote unquote expert, you know, to admit like, oh, hey, when I came out of college, I had credit card debt. And, you know, I'm very honest on my podcast. I went through a divorce in my really early 30s that was financially devastating for me. And I basically had to give up every asset that I owned in order to not have to pay my ex-spouse for 10 plus years and take on debt. And that was a really hard position to be in because I felt completely demoralized. Like, who am I to give advice to someone? But I think I'm grateful for that because what I learned was I had these tools and these skills and I had the know-how to pick myself back up. And if I could instill those into other people, especially other women, to help them know that no matter what they go through in life, you know, they can get up, dust themselves off and restart again, then maybe that was kind of the best thing that ever happened to me.
I think we try so hard to be perfect all the time.
Yes.
And we try to like, and if we're not, to definitely hide that. So I'm trying to think about the leap from like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm now going to like admit to everyone that I'm not perfect.
That's a really tough space. And I think honestly, like you have to get there first, you know, like that to me is the starting point for change in anything that you want to, you know, achieve in life. And for me, that was just the spot of being able to say to other people like, okay, I'm human. You know, I've had stuff happen to me and I've made mistakes and I still sometimes spend too much on vacations and, you know, all those sorts of things. And I think for me, it was, you know, speaking the reality of life. And that's what I try to get every guest on the podcast to do too, that through doing that, people would figure out that we're all more alike than we're different, particularly when it comes to our money, and that you just perfect is totally unattainable when you're thinking about your finances. So don't even try to put yourself there.
I really love this. And I'm so thankful to hear you kind of talk about your own story and sort of saying like, look, I've been there, I've screwed it up. I've been in a bad place and I worked myself out of it. And, you know, and other people can too. I'm curious, like, how did you work your way out of it? Like, how did you go from that place of sort of having to kind of start over financially to feeling like you had it more together again?
The best advice I can give is just, I took it step by step by step. So if I looked at the entirety of the situation, like how much I was in debt, how much I had to pay my ex-spouse, you know, all of the things that I had given up. Like if I looked at it in the entirety, I had, you know, those like panic freak out modes. And so I had to just break things down by little pieces like, okay, I've got this debt. Okay, I know how to attack debt, right? There's two ways to attack debt. I'm going to pick one of them and I'm going to go for it. You know, so I started moving in that direction. And then I also know like, okay, I have all these skills. I have all these talents. None of that was taken away from me. How do I turn that now and start having that be more revenue producing for me than it was before? So for me, it was just literally about writing out goals, staying really focused and, you know, trying to put these little steps together to get yourself to a place where you feel like, okay, I'm actually achieving things and it's going in the right direction, but it's tough. It's hard, especially when you're in a tough emotional situation like that. But I think really being focused and really seeing it like, okay, it might not be good financially, but it is a clean slate to work from. So let me just figure out how to, you know, start attacking some of this.
I love this idea that like, you might feel like everything's been taken away from you because you lost, you know, a lot of things financially, or people can feel like that if they lose a job, but like nobody took away your talents. And like, it's a really good reminder that you're still you and you still have all of that.
Yeah. It's really easy to feel down, to feel depressed, to have that anxiety. And I've certainly been there, but you know, yeah, I mean, that really for me was like the biggest realization, like, okay, I had to give up all this stuff, but I'm still me. I still have all of these talents and I can make these talents better. And that's something nobody can take away from me.
There's so many topics in here that I think so many people would be afraid to talk about. And I want to ask you, Shauna, why do you think people are so afraid to talk about money?
I think it's just this taboo topic. And so because of that, people just don't talk about it. So when you don't talk about something, you feel really isolated and you feel like you're alone. Like nobody can possibly have the same money issues you have. But the reality that I try to tell everybody is you're so wrong. Like we're all so much alike when it comes to, especially the things that we've not done so well.
Right. How do you suggest people like start opening up about this to their friends or, you know, to others? Like when is the appropriate time to start talking about money?
Well, I think, you know, with friends, you have to make sure you're in good company. It's really easy, I think, for other people to judge you, especially if you've never broached this topic. But I'm just a big believer in, especially if it's something where you feel really pent up about, like, start talking to people in just a casual way. I mean, you don't have to share everything, you know, that you feel like maybe has been a money mishap in your life, but start maybe having some conversations and see if that releases some of that pressure.
You know, how appropriate is it to talk about money with your coworkers?
You know, that's so interesting. Like, the statistics are showing that especially people in their like 20s are really, really open talking about money at work with their coworkers. It's not a subject that I would probably talk about, you know, if I had coworkers. But, you know, I think, again, you just have to feel it out. You have to feel out like your comfort level, and then you have to feel out, you know, the person that you're talking to. Like, is this person going to be open and receptive to whatever I'm saying or any advice that, you know, I'm asking for? So it's kind of like knowing your audience, I think, first is pretty key in that situation. But the workplace is a little tricky, I think.
I think that that's one of those issues that's coming up over and over recently because of so many conversations about like pay equity, where, you know, particularly women, and I've heard this from people of color, and then, you know, like probably most of all, I've heard this from women of color saying, like, you know we're not achieving pay equity. And if we don't talk about what other people are making, then we don't have any context. And that sort of like keeps us more powerless in our workplaces. And so I think that's where at least some of that shift is coming from, is from people who feel like they've been kind of like missing some context and wanting to go seek that out. I know I personally, I mean, I don't work in a company where I have coworkers, so I don't get to talk to them about money, but I talk to people who are like my peers all the time about the offers that they're getting for jobs, or like, well, you know, like, oh, well, I know somebody who was offered a position in a company that I think is pretty similar, and they were offered somewhere like this. And, you know, I've seen some other positions that were in this range, and just trying to like give people more of that context so that they don't feel so in the dark.
I think that's a really good point too. And I think that, you know, you said it maybe a little bit more eloquently than I did, but it's also, like I said, knowing your audience. So yeah, I mean, obviously for women, like the pay equity thing is a huge, you know, I'm not quite sure how we solve that issue, but other than we just pay women what they actually deserve. But I definitely do that as an entrepreneur. I'll ask other people like, hey, what did you get for this contract, or this client hired you? What did they pay you? And some people are willing to open up about it, and some aren't, and that's okay.
For me, I know like Sarah and I, we've had conversations about money, but you know, those certainly didn't happen the first time that we ever met. They was definitely after many a happy hour. And where, you know, I felt someone that I was like really confident in, like both friend and working, like that, you know, we could have these conversations and keep it between us. And so I found it really important to find someone that I could sort of trust. Trust is such a huge part of these money conversations.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a big part.
So, you know, money can be very intimidating. The other day, someone in like a work Slack channel said, every time I think about wanting to get better at about it, I get too confused and I walk away. I think a lot of us can relate to that. How do you suggest people get, you know, quote unquote, better about their money?
I think that that's what happens with a lot of people. You know, I preach a lot about, probably people are sick of hearing this, but I preach a lot about a concept I call knowing your numbers. So if you hate the word budgeting, I'm right there with you. I'm not a big fan of the word budget, but you know, the concept of knowing what cash is going out of your bank account and where that's going to, it gives you a lot of empowerment over your finances. And I think starting places like there, where you know, you can really have this awareness of what's going on with your money, puts you in this place of power. It puts you in the driver's seat when it comes to your finances, and it helps you to make really educated decisions about what you're doing with your money. But I do think, you know, it's really easy, because it can seem really complicated. You know, what should I do with my money? Well, I can't figure anything out, so I'm just not going to do anything. But I think there are so many resources out there. There's podcasts, there's so many articles. Gosh, there's books. I mean, there's apps, you name it. And it's all about just pulling out what's going to work for you and throwing out the rest. Because as I always tell people, like, money is not a one size fits all. So what's going to work for you is not going to work for me. And so I need to figure out where there are pieces of information that maybe you have or money tips that you're using that maybe would work for me. And the rest I'm just going to throw out because it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I've been reading a ton of money books and magazines and listening to podcasts recently, including yours. And I just like, there's so much information, but of course not everything is applicable to me.
Yeah. You know, and it's really interesting. We kind of talked about this earlier with that like idea of perfection. There's this kind of underground movement right now happening. I just recently was quoted in an article about the downsides of extreme personal finance. And so there's this movement of bloggers and people who are saying, Dave Ramsey talks about this a lot, that you can't have any debt to be quote unquote successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really putting undue pressure on people because, I mean, let's face it, like, honestly, sometimes having debt is the smartest decision you can make. Sometimes leveraging somebody else's money actually works to your advantage. And so I think, you know, broad sweeping these concepts across and telling people, you know, what you have to do it this way and you have to retire by 35 and you have to, it just doesn't work for everybody. And I think it puts us in this, you know, more of a panic state when it's not applicable to our life.
Right. I mean, I get so concerned, right? Like I've listened to a bridged audible book of Dave Ramsey. I'll throw that out there. And I listened to it and I remember thinking like, wow, if this had been the only thing I had listened to, like if this was the first thing, like I wonder what my life would be like. Would I have like just done everything that he had told me to do?
I think that happens a lot with money because I think, you know, look, we don't normally learn about it at home. We're not learning about it at school. Nobody's teaching us about money. And so I think that, you know, sometimes we just like glom on to the first thing. But really, like I encourage people, like listen to lots of podcasts, read lots of articles, you know, again, like pick out what's going to work for you. And just throw out the rest.
When I start trying to look at a lot of different sources to make a financial decision, sometimes it works pretty well for me. I can like read a few different things and come out feeling like, okay, I get it now. I understand whatever this thing is, whether it's like, for example, you know, researching mortgages a few years ago when we bought our first house. And that's great. Sometimes when I'm researching money things, and I would say like particularly with retirement stuff, I read a whole bunch of different stuff and then I come out the other end going, well, now I'm even less sure what I should be doing. How do you recommend people kind of can make sense of what is going to work for them or not get overwhelmed when you get all of this kind of like complicated and sometimes conflicting information?
Yeah, that is such a great point, especially when it comes to retirement. Most people are kind of in this like retirement fog, like just not sure how much you should save or where it should go, you know. And this is really a case of it's always a good idea to hire an hour or two of like a certified financial planner's time to figure out, okay, what actually is going to work for you? Because somebody can look at your situation holistically but I think it does really start with the place of, and this sounds really obvious, but people forget this a lot of time of what is the vision for your life? Realistically, what do you want your life to look like? You know, do you want to retire at 50 or 70 or, you know, I know some of those decisions are hard to think of now, but if you could paint a picture of what you want your life to look like, what would that be? And then, okay, now that you have that picture, how do you get your money to come alongside that picture and help make that actually happen? And I think when you start from that approach, then you have this visualization and you can figure out then what you need to do with your money. What are those different steps you need to take to be able to fund that to get you to that vision?
So you mentioned before budgeting. And I think a lot of the reason that I think we avoid that is because it sounds like we're just basically cutting all the fun out of life. So how do you suggest people think about making a budget and how do they get started with that?
I always tell people like the only reason in the world that you're ever going to attempt to do anything like a budget is so that you can actually fund your goals. You know, do you want to buy a house? Do you want to, are you starting a family? Do you want to stop working? Do you want to start a business? Do you want to go on vacation? Like what are those things that you want to do? That's the only reason that you do a budget because you're incorporating those goals into your budget so that you can structure your money properly so that you're actually able to achieve those goals. And I tell people like, I don't like the word budget. If you don't like the word budget, change the name of it. Call it whatever the heck you want to call it. just understand the principle of when you're tracking where your money's going, you are putting yourself in the driver's seat of making changes with your money so that you can drive more money towards those particular goals. Even if your goal is you want to pay off debt, it's just when you have an understanding of, you know, the what's coming in is the easy part. Like that's the part we all like. The what going out part, you know, most people are like, well, I have some general idea of where I spend my money. And then there's a process I go through people where we dial down and we actually look at the bank statements and, you know, I come back to them and we compare the numbers of what they thought and what they actually spent. And it's kind of mind-blowing at times. So it's putting yourself in a powerful position to be able to make changes and also to be able to anticipate when, you know, big expenses are coming up and things like that. And really, I mean, it can be as uncomplicated or as complicated as you want. Some people use Post-it notes. Some people use pieces of paper. Some people use Excel templates. Microsoft has a ton of free templates. Or you can use budgeting apps. I mean, so it's really kind of based off of your temperament and something that will keep you motivated.
Huh. I never even thought about other options besides like an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, there are so many of them out there. So I always tell people like try a bunch of things until you figure out something that actually works for you.
There's like nothing more terrifying to me than having to sit down and face how much money I spent in a given month on like coffee.
Yeah, I know. Coffee's a big one. You know, eating out is another big one. I worked with a couple of years ago and they wanted to buy a house and they made really good money and they couldn't figure out why they couldn't have a down payment ever. And so they'd handed me this like, you know, scrap of paper budget that they had made like probably like a year before. And of course it wasn't accurate. And, you know, after we did sort of the exercise of looking at their bank statements, I came back to them and I said, so like, how much did you think that you spent on eating out? And they're like, oh, I think we spend like $300 or $400 a month. You know, and I'm like, well, do you want to know the actual number? And they're like, sure. I'm like, well, the last like 4 or 5 months tracking back, you've spent about $2,500 a month on eating out. And they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, they obviously knew they were going out to eat a lot, but it just wasn't realistic to them. But, you know, when they realized that, then they were able to shift things a little bit and they bought a house in 4 months. So I understand like how scary that can be for sure, because there are times I don't want to look at my money. But I think if you can flip it on the flip side of things and just say, look, the only reason I'm doing this is because I got all these other things out here and name them and visualize them that I want to do. And so if I don't look at this, I can't get to this.
Having to look internally at ourselves is so hard.
I know. It's really hard, but I promise you, like after you do it one or two times, if you can find that positive inspiration, it does start to change.
You know, it's true. And then you have to like remember like, wow, I'm so happy I know this now. So you can like identify these things. It's almost like the not knowing is worse.
You know, it's just coming to the place where you look before I got divorced, like I was the girl who never wanted to look at the ATM receipt. I would deposit money and I wouldn't look at the receipt. And it's dumb because there was no reason, because there was always money in the bank account. I just fixate on numbers. And so I didn't want to look. And then when I got divorced, I was like, all right, I got to look at the ATM receipt. Like I got to deal with this. And you know, after the first few times were a little hard for me. And then after that, it was like, all right, I got this. I can do this, you know? And so I think as much as you can like positively inspire yourself, the better off you're going to be.
So I've been trying to tackle this. I'm like, in like the last couple of months, I've been like, I'm going to learn more about money. I'm going to do it. And I've been doing it, but like, I'll read a lot of advice that's like, start saving in your 20s, otherwise you're screwed. And as someone in my 30s, it makes me feel terrible.
Yeah, don't listen to that. It's not true. There's always a way to remedy absolutely everything financially. So that's the stuff where it's like, okay, they're trying to get you to clickbait on the article. We're also in a generation where we're probably realistically going to live well into our hundreds. So we're probably not going to like, you know, put up shop and stop working at 65 like maybe our parents did. And so it's going to look completely different. I mean, some people even argue that we're not actually going to quote unquote retire. We're just going to keep working and, you know, with the internet and side hustles and, you know, we're going to be in our 90s, like side hustling.
Oh my God, that sounds so exhausting.
Right? So, I mean, I just, you know, don't freak out about it.
With that in mind, you know, I think sometimes we're hesitant to save for retirement because it seems like it's not ever going to happen.
Yeah, it's this taboo word, obviously, that we hear all the time. And I think, you know, once we get into our 30s, we're like, oh my gosh, you know, even though it's 30 plus, potentially 40 plus years away, and, you know, their life is going to bob and weave all around until then. So I think that it's just about, you know, again, having some goals. And look, if you can only save a little bit of money each year for a while, so be it. It's not the end of the world.
So Shauna, can you tell us a little bit about this new book you have coming out?
Well, it's a little bit top secret, so I can't dish a whole lot, but I've always, like, when I was writing it, I was sort of writing it under the idea of the anti-money money book. So for me, it's a book that is full of inspiration that's going to help you feel better about, you know, whatever financial situation you're in. And then also the book shares a lot of stories from people that hopefully, you know, somebody can relate to who have gone through different things in their lives and how they've kind of pulled themselves back up or the different steps they've taken. And then it's fused together with my own story. So it's not a book where, you know, chapter one is how to pay off debt and chapter two is buying a house. It's not that type of book. To me, it's always the type of book I've wanted to write, which is really making money come to life and helping it be relatable to people reading it, that they can see maybe themselves through somebody else's story or be inspired through their story.
That sounds absolutely incredible. And I know that I am very excited to read that when that comes out. But while myself and our listeners are waiting for your book, where can they get more Shauna?
Absolutely. So you can find the Millennial Money Podcast on absolutely any podcast player. And we would love to have you listen in. We do episodes twice a week. Or you can head on over to my website, shaunagame.com, to check out all of the back catalog.
Hungry, but I'm also thinking about our fuck yeah of the week.
Well, you're in luck, Cattell, because this week's fuck yeah is fuck yeah meal prep.
All right. Right. Tell me more.
Okay. So we've all either like are meal prep converts at this point, or we've like read about meal prep and been like, oof, that sounds like a investment of a lifestyle.
The look on my face says, oh my God, are you one of those people now?
I think you're going to like it because I feel like I'm someplace in the middle. So I've been reading about all this meal prep and hearing about meal prep for like ever, like meal prep. It makes life so much easier, etc. But I was just like, I can't get down. But like money, I'm taking those slow steps into like being like, well, let me try it out. And maybe I can like figure out a way to make this work. And so we've been like struggling in that our son needs to eat at an early hour. And it's like right in like a weird time. And then we do bedtime. So like we would like give him dinner at like 6, but then we wouldn't eat and start making dinner until after bedtime. So then we're eating like 8:30, 9 p.m. And like, I'm trying to go to sleep at like 9:30. So this
Yeah, it's like, what are we in Spain?
Yes. Yeah. What is going on here with like out the glorious wine? So, I mean, there's wine. It's just not as good. So we were like, you know what? Let's give meal prep a shot. And like, the thing is, so we sort of looked at what we can do and we've got an Instant Pot and we sort of became Instant Pot converts, which could tell.
I wonder who helped you do that.
And then we're also really into like sheet pan meals. And then the third part is we've been doing these Hungry Harvests, like CSAs, which are basically like they call it like ugly produce. So like produce that stores reject for like one reason or another, either if it's like there's been like over like production of something or like misleaf shaped apples. So they do a CSA and they deliver to your door, which is awesome. So we get those delivered on Saturday. And then sometimes we'll like supplement with an Instacart if we can't go to the store, because again, baby. And then on Sunday, we were like, well, let's give this a shot. So basically, we just take all these vegetables that we get from our produce share and we just roast them with various things. And then I found a recipe for 1 minute quinoa in the Instant Pot. So we do that. And then we do like one other like protein-ish thing, which we freeze to then have later in the week. And then Sunday, like while we've got time, we usually like grill something like a meat or a fish. And then we're like, okay, we're going to like just like do the one like protein thing, like that, like for the next 2 days. And then we like break out the thing that we froze from the Instant Pot. So like we tried it and we're like, oh, this is like kind of working. And so now we're saving time and we're able to eat dinner at 6 p.m. like with our child. So we all eat dinner together as a family, which is really awesome.
It sounds like it's, you know, a good thing to manage sort of budget wise also, because yeah. You're kind of looking at like, a week at a time or whatever length of time. So that's like, that seems really helpful.
And we waste way less food. We were doing the thing like where we'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I want all this stuff. And we were trying to like sort of live the lifestyle we had before, like before having a kid, where it's like, oh yeah, we can cook extravagant dinners, like make all this stuff. But like what we'd end up doing is be like, oh, we're throwing out another head of kale. Like, and then you just feel awful, like for many reasons. Like one, you just wasted food and you wasted money and you didn't get to eat that kale. So like, it's always like a little bit of a bummer. Now we're like actually making sure that we're cooking everything.
You know, years ago, Will and I were really good about planning out our meals for the week. We didn't do like a ton of pre-prep, but we would really plan out ingredients. And also, to be honest, we were broke. We didn't have that much money. When Will was in graduate school, we were in our early 20s. We would go grocery shopping every weekend together. And we would shop off of what was on the circular that week, which is like how I grew up. It was like a very, like, you would really look for what was on sale and stock up on things when they were on sale, if you could at the time. And, you know, and so we used to do that. And we were very good about thinking about things like, okay, well, you know, if we buy this kind of produce that is on sale this week, we need to have it in two different dinners. So we'll do it two different ways or whatever, right? And that worked pretty well, particularly because I wasn't traveling that much then. And so, you know, we would cook dinner together every night and didn't cost a lot of money. And it wasn't perfect, but it was good. And it kind of fell apart at some point because I travel a lot and we kind of stopped really doing those big shops together and we just like stopped having as much of a plan. And so recently I struggle with the meal prep in that, like, I have this piece of me that wants to like make dinner for the night that night. Yeah. I really like it in a lot of ways, but I did get way better about going back into thinking through the week, what's going on this week? How many meals can we prepare for? Like realistically, how many evenings this week are we going to be able to cook at home? And I've been really enjoying feeling a little bit more planned out. I'm not like micromanaging it, but it makes me feel good to feel like I go into the week with like a little bit of a plan, the right kinds of stuff stocked, and a realistic sense of what I'm going to do with all the kale I just bought or whatever, you know? But also, like, don't you sometimes have a plan and then you're like, I had a fucking Wednesday and I just don't want to.
So I will say this, like the meal prep is new. So I'm saying fuck yeah now, but I'm not sure if I'll be saying fuck yeah in another 5 weeks. There's like points where I'm getting like a little bit tired of like what we're eating. So now we're trying to like think of like other things that we can do to like make it different. Maybe we need more sauces. Maybe we need to like, I don't know, just expand something. So we're going to look into that. But like the other week I was going home and we're right near some like really good pizza restaurants. And this like just smell of garlic was like just coming through the air. And I got home and I was just like, I just looked at Sutter and was like, I'm ordering a pizza. And I was like, I do not care. This is just like, I am ordering this pizza right now. Like that is what's happening. And it was so good.
I love that. A while ago, Donna and I decided that we are going to try basically switching off every day, right? So like what, like if I decided dinner, and it doesn't have to be a cook thing. It can be like, you are just in charge of dinner. You're PMing dinner. You can cook it. You can order it. We can go out somewhere, whatever. And that was like kind of great because you just like had the night off if it wasn't your night. But then a pizza place, a slice pizza place opened up across the street from where we live. So now it's basically like both of our ideas all the time are just pizza slice, which does not, it sounds fucking amazing. Like it today.
It might be like a long-term plan.
It's not a long-term plan. Yeah.
So I think the thing about meal prep is sort of, it's not even like just meal prep, but it's like kind of thinking about how do I make sure that I have some of that time in the evening that is like good family time, or how do I make sure that I eat the way that I want to be eating more often, or that I kind of stay on budget. It's kind of like thinking about that stuff and sort of like giving yourself some space to figure that out without, I think, without getting like too rigid about it and making it feel like another on the long list of shoulds, which I'm kind of like tired of feeling like I have all these shoulds.
Totally. Fuck yeah.
That's it for this week's episode of Know You Go, the show about being ambitious and sticking together. NYG is recorded in our home city of Philadelphia and produced by Steph Colburn. Our theme music is by The Diaphone. Thanks to Shauna Compton-Game for being our guest today. If you like what you've been hearing, please make sure to subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. Your support helps us spread the word. We'll be back next week with another great guest. You once were a secret, now you're just